Good morning. As you can see, things are a little different this morning. And when it hits zero, something's supposed to happen. So something's going to happen this morning. Welcome, and we're glad that everybody is here this morning. We're doing something a little different than we do some weeks. And you can see the seating's a little different, and we're up here instead of downstairs. We're also going to be doing a lot of readings this morning and songs. And at times, John will be reading some scripture, and when you see the part that says congregation and it comes up yellow, that's our cue to read. But we do want to welcome everybody. It is such a blessing to be here and such a blessing to celebrate Jesus. We do that all year, but it's a wonderful time of the year right now. It's a wonderful season. You know, that new baby changed everything. And in a very good way. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, the light has dawned. That's our scripture for this morning. We're going to be talking about Jesus and what Him, God coming to earth, means to us all. I hope if you were here for Koine, you were blessed as much as I was. And I appreciate Cheryl and Connie, who are at the table with us, sharing with us. I don't identify as much with Mary. I've never had babies. I might identify with the shepherds and with Joseph. But Mary, it's remarkable when you think about it. The beauty of the birth of Jesus, she would remember forever until the pain of the cross. And I don't know how she would ever get past that. And Jesus' birthday would never seem the same again after she experienced the pain of the cross. And that's life. The incarnation came to life. And life sometimes is the exaltation of the angels, and sometimes it's the pain of the cross. Now, the wonderful thing for Christians is we believe in the incarnation, we believe in the birth, we believe in the cross, but we really believe in the resurrection. And in the joy of the resurrection, and we believe in the place that Jesus has right now, up there helping us, not just watching us, but helping us through His Holy Spirit. And you know what we also believe? We believe that He's coming back. Amen. And what the shepherds saw was great, but it's nothing compared to what we're going to get to see when He comes back to claim His own. That's what we're celebrating this morning. So join in, sing your hearts out, sing your voices out, let the Spirit move you, and let's go to God in prayer to start us off this morning. Lord God, thank You for Jesus who came to earth, that You loved us so much that You wouldn't let us perish, but You came down here and You went through what we go through and even beyond that. And thank You for being victorious over all that, for abolishing the pain of death. Your story goes on. Our story will go on. Our families' stories go on for eternity. That's a long time to celebrate. So thank You for Jesus, and help us to praise You in the Spirit of Christ this morning. It's in His name we offer this prayer. Amen.
We have some sections to read from, and this first group is about the coming hope. And as Don suggested, you can see on the slide in yellow there at the bottom, in this case, where we are expected to all read together. So as you can, please follow along as I read, and then join together at those times. This first one, and most of them that we're reading from, are Isaiah and Luke, and then a few from the book of John. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low, and rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And now from Luke. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town of Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Let's sing together.
As the deer pant for the water, so my soul longs after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You desire, and I long to worship thee. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long me. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of captive Israel that mourns in lonely agony until the Son of God appear.
Hallelujah.
Established as the highest of the mountains, it will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will take up sword against nation, nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord." And again to Luke. "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them."
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say,
with my soul.
in his hand, who has numbered every grain of sand. Kings and nations tremble at his voice. All creation rises to rejoice. Who has given counsel to the Lord? Who can question any of his words? Who can teach the one who knows all things? Who can fathom all his wondrous deeds? Behold our God, seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him. Who has felt the nails upon his hands, bearing all the guilt of sinful men? God eternal, to the grave, Jesus Savior, risen now to reign. Behold our God, seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare.
Everlasting Lord, lay in
Glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool. The thirsty ground, bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grace and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there, and those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests."
If you're able, please stand with me as we sing this song.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, cross hills and plains. Repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more that sin and sorrow. Nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow. Far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth.
Be seated. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin. Drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. Mortals, join the mighty chorus, which the morning stars begin. Father, Lord,
Him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee, Christ the Lord, the newborn King.
Walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
I'm sorry, I think we skipped the slide, didn't we? All right, we're going to have a few thoughts from Chris.
So technical difficulties aside, I want to tell Kyle he's done a fantastic job this morning. Tyler is sick. Tyler was scheduled to lead our worship this morning and put together a fantastic service, but he's got food poisoning. So we want to remember Tyler, and I just want to take a moment and pray for him and pray for the rest of our service this morning. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your gifts. Things that you've given to us, the blessings that we have in our life. Most of all, this morning, we're thankful for your Son. We thank you for giving him to us as a gift so we might have eternal life. God, we thank you for the gift that Tyler has given us this morning and putting together a beautiful worship service. And we thank you for the gift that Kyle has given in leading us today. Father, I pray that as we look at your word for just a moment, that you help us to remember how blessed we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So this morning, I've chosen some scriptures from John, which is not usually where we go when we talk about Christmas. Usually we look at Luke and we look at Matthew and we focus on the literal story of the birth of Jesus. But our theme this morning is love. Our theme this morning is that love entered into the world. And we find in John this beautiful explanation of who Jesus is, of why he came, of what he was here to do. As John read this morning, the light came into the darkness. That out of heaven, something came to reveal what we couldn't otherwise know. See, I read through Scripture and I see over and over again that God is desiring to speak into the story of history. For most of history, man kind of walks around with his hands over his ears and chooses not to hear, or covers his eyes and chooses not to see. We spend a lot of time in the dark. In fact, there's this whole idea that in some ways we're living in a cave and we're watching a shadow play on the walls, and we haven't really seen the true color of things. We haven't seen the real shape of things. We just have such a small image of what we're intended for, of what we're created for. This is the cave analogy that's given. And this idea that for most of life, you know, a man could sit and just stare at a wall and think that this is all that there is, this light playing shadows against the wall, and all you know are the shadows. But the truth is, the world is so much more. If that man were to get up and leave the cave, he would experience things he'd never seen before, and he may not recognize what it is he's seeing. He may find himself overwhelmed by the experience. And the truth is, our existence apart from Jesus is kind of that cave mentality. We're sitting with our back to the light, and all we see are shadows cast against the wall. But John tells us that the light came into the world, that we were in darkness. And the light came to us. I find the story of Christmas beautiful because most of Scripture is about this idea that humanity has chosen not to embrace God. But in the incarnation, in the birth of Christ, we see the very literal opposite of that. We see a mother embracing her child. That the creation takes into its arms the Creator. in this small infant child. And we know the story of Jesus. We know that he lives from that time to about the age of 30. And at 30, he begins a public ministry. And he goes about teaching people what real life looks like and healing people so that they might live more fully than they did before. He tells this beautiful story that impacts the world around him. And John tells us that he comes into the world as a light to reveal real life. And in every action, in every moment, in every time that he touches a human being, in every moment that he speaks words of truth, he reveals further and more fully what real life looks like. As Christians, though, we don't believe in just taking the life of Christ and breaking it into little pieces and treating them like they're separate stories. The birth of Jesus is not a separate story from the life of Jesus. And the life of Jesus is not a separate story from the death and resurrection of Jesus. And the kingdom, who we are called to be, the church, the things we do on a daily basis are supposed to be a continuation of that story. John tells us in John 3:16, a verse we just read a moment ago, that God gave his son so that we wouldn't perish, so that we would have eternal life. But the key to that passage is not really the second half. I mean, that's extremely important, but understanding the why of Jesus coming into the world is so essential. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. I want you to think about that for just a moment this morning. There's a lot of things that we can say about Jesus, about the incarnation, about the birth of Christ, about his life, his death, his resurrection, his eternal enthronement on high, about his activity in the body of the church. But none of it would have come to pass were it not for the love of God for his creation. And I think about this, I think about John 3:16, 1 John 3:16, and I want to read that to you this morning. By this, we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. By this, we know love. I know that before knowing Christ, I had a concept of love. I had an idea of what it was, but it was shallow. It was tiny. It was puny. It was like a shadow on a wall. And the best I could hope for was to treat others nicely, but usually out of selfish ambition. Treat you well, maybe you'll treat me well too. That's not how God's love works. And in the incarnation, we see God leaving heaven, which is in his best interest to stay there. He comes into the world. And he lives among us a hard, difficult life. He enters into the world through pain. Scripture tells us that childbirth is pain, that it's difficult. I don't have to tell the women in here who have given birth that that's the case. That's kind of an obvious statement. But the truth is, this world is painful and difficult and troublesome sometimes. And when Jesus enters into the world, he accepts all of that onto himself, not for his benefit, but for our benefit. The love of God compels Jesus to take on pain and suffering. And the story of the incarnation is beautiful because it is about a mother embracing her child, creation and creator being close to one another. But it's even more beautiful because it is a love story about God and his willingness to suffer for us. Because entering into creation is acceptance of all the suffering that Jesus would endure. And then Christ lives his life and he goes to the cross and he struggles and suffers on the cross, not because he's a masochist, not because it's what's best for him, not because he benefits from death, but because we benefit from his death. And then he rises from the grave, not just to provide glory for himself, although it certainly does provide glory for him, but to benefit us, so that we might have the hope of resurrection. And when Christ goes and sits on the throne in heaven, it's not simply for his glory and his benefit, it's for your benefit. Because on the throne, he becomes the ruler of all things. The one who has control, the one who has the keys to heaven and to earth. And there, in his love for you, he promises the hope of salvation. And in all of this, he teaches us love. He teaches us what it means to love not just him, but to love one another. I'll admit that sometimes Christmas is a selfish time for me because I look really forward to the things that I get. I give my kids good gifts, and part of the reason I give them good gifts is not because I want them to be happy. It's because I want to see them open the presents and then steal their joy from them, like feel that good vibration just cast off on me. It's good if they enjoy their presents, but there's a part of me that's really selfish. I'll tell you this. We had our family Christmas yesterday because we have Lorinda's family on Christmas Eve, my extended family on Christmas Day. We wanted to open presents, and we didn't want to haul them back and forth, and so we had our Christmas yesterday. And we're opening our stockings, and as they're opening the stockings, we were going around in a circle. I was the last one in the line, and each time that the kids would open their presents, we'd get around to me, and I'd forget that I was supposed to be next because I was enjoying watching them play with the thing that they just opened. To some extent, that's God with us. God gives, and what he receives in return is our joy, our peace, our hope. And then he teaches us how to love so that we can invite others into that same story. Not telling me to be selfish this year. But if you want to experience real hope, real joy, real peace, real love, your calling through Christmas and beyond is to joyfully share this gift, to receive the greater gift. It's what we talked about in Koine this morning, this idea that John says, we share the story so that our joy may be complete. We share this good news so our joy may be complete. I want to pray, and then I'm going to invite Kyle up to sing, and then we're going to share in communion together. We're going to be thinking a lot about this idea of love and the gift that God has given us. Let's pray. Father God, you are good. And we were blind. We were lost, we were alone, we were afraid, and sometimes we didn't even know it because we'd never experienced what it meant to be with you, what it meant to see, what it meant to really live. So we didn't even know what we were missing. And you came into the world and you taught us that life could be so much more than we had been thinking. You showed us what it meant to live for others, to care for others, to heal, to teach, to open eyes. Father, this morning I pray that you help us to be like your Son, and that we lay down what's best for ourselves, and that we take up what is best for others. Help us to be ambassadors of your love. Help us to spread hope and peace and joy this year. God, we have such a great story to tell. Help us to tell it well. We thank you for Jesus, and we thank you for his love for us. We thank you for his death, his resurrection, his eternal enthronement. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Let's worship.
Let's sing together.
Why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble go? Why did he choose a lowly birth? Because he loved me so. He loved for me, because he loved me so. Why did he drink the bitter cup of sorrow, pain, and woe? Why on the cross he lifted up? He loved me so. He loved me so. He loved me so. He gave his precious life for me. He loved me so. Till Jesus comes, I'll sing his praise, and then to glory go, and reign with him through endless days, because he loved me so. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretched treasure. How great the pain of I will not boast in anything, No gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should
sure it is in most of your homes, Christmas at the Brown House is in full swing. We have our tree set up, and every day there seems to be more and more presents gathering under the tree, and it's been really fun, especially with Addie. She's at that age right now where she's really getting into the symbolism of Christmas. And one of her favorite things to do right now is in the afternoon and into the evening as it starts to get dark, she goes over to the window and she gets this expression of, it's getting dark, there's going to be Christmas lights. And what she likes to do is she asks Sarah and I if we can drive around and look at the Christmas lights through the neighborhood. And so it's really been fun to watch her start to connect the symbolism of the season with Christmas. And so it got me thinking about, okay, what are the symbols of Christmas? And we have the Christmas lights and the Christmas tree. And then when I think about the Christmas story, in my mind, the symbols that I think about are the manger scene, the stable, with Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus in the manger and the wise men and the shepherds and the star over Bethlehem. But I don't often connect the cross to Christmas. At least that's not been the norm for me. But as I started thinking about this morning and thinking about coming to the table and sharing in communion, it's become more and more evident to me that Christmas is all about the cross. And there really is no greater symbol for Christmas than the cross itself. And if we think back into the Christmas story, we think about the angels when they come to talk to the shepherds. And the angel starts to talk and he says, "Do not be afraid," which in and of itself is probably a pretty powerful statement, because I imagine how different the Christmas story might have been had he not started with that. But anyway, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy. For today a baby has been born, and in fact that baby's the Messiah." And then when all the other angels come and they gather with that one angel, and they're saying, "Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to all men." And we start to realize that the story of Christmas is not just about the birth of Jesus. The story of Christmas is more than just the fulfillment of prophecy. Like Chris said, the story of Christmas is the fulfillment of God's love for us. In the fact that he was willing to give his one and his only son to come down to live a human life here among us, to live out a ministry, to die on the cross, something that we couldn't do for ourselves, but then more than that, to raise from the dead and to conquer sin and to conquer death. And all of that comes back to the Christmas story. And so this morning as we take communion, we don't just do this because, well, we've got to fit communion into our Christmas service at some point, or this is just what we do every week. No, we do this as the culmination of the Christmas story. We really do this as the centerpiece of what we celebrate in the birth of Jesus. The fact that God gave Jesus to us so that we can have hope in something greater than ourselves. We can have hope in something that we really can't even comprehend. We have hope through Jesus in salvation, in eternal life, something that is the greatest gift that anyone could ever receive. And so this morning as we take communion, I encourage you, like we've talked about this morning, let's do so joyfully, rejoicing in the fact that through Jesus, through his life, through his death, through his resurrection, there is the ultimate peace on earth. And there is that hope that's available to each and every one of us, but it's only because of the love that God has for us. So let's bow as we prepare to take the bread. God, we love you,
And we recognize that you are the one true God, and we recognize that you sent Jesus to come and intercede on our behalf, and for that we are so thankful. This morning as we take the bread, may we be reminded of the birth of Jesus, that he came as a man, to live as a man amongst us, to live a perfect life that then led him to the cross on our behalf. And so God, as we take this bread, we thank you for the Christmas story. We thank you for the symbol of you sending Jesus down here to earth to live for us. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Let's continue our prayer. God, as we take the cup, we want to be reminded of the sacrifice that was made for us. God, thank you for the willingness of Jesus to come to live and to die on the cross for us. God, thank you for his willingness to do that on our behalf. And God, I just pray that every day we are reminded of that sacrifice, but then that we take advantage of every opportunity we have to connect with you through Jesus and through that sacrifice and through the salvation and the hope that is available to us. And so God, as we take this cup, may it be a reminder to us of not only the life that was lived, not only the death that took place, but more than that, the hope that we have in the resurrection. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I had a super humbling dad moment this week. On Friday, I was taking Addie and Rose to the babysitter, and Sarah had told Addie that when she got to Miss Connie's house, there was a card that she could give Miss Connie, a Christmas card, as a Christmas gift, a Christmas present. And so the whole way in the car up to Miss Connie's house, Addie was super excited and was holding on to that card in her car seat. And then normally the routine is I get them out of the car seat and I carry Rose and walk Addie to the door, and Addie wants me to knock on the door because there's normally a cat right there waiting to go inside, and Addie kind of watches and plays with the cat. But this morning I got Addie out of the car and she's holding on with two hands to that card. And she ran up to the door, and when we got there she said, "Dad, you knock." Because she didn't want to take her hands off of that card, and she was so excited to have that card and to get to give that gift to Miss Connie. And as soon as Miss Connie opened the door, Addie reached up with two hands and she says, "Happy birthday." So we've got to work on that. This is Christmas, not birthdays, right? But it was fun to watch how excited she got about giving. And as I drove away, I was humbled as I drove to work and left them. I was very humbled because my daughter was so excited to give a gift, whereas in the back of my mind, honestly, if I'm being real, that morning as we were driving, okay, I wonder if Sarah added this gift to our spreadsheet so we made sure we knew how much we had spent and, you know, what is our total, and I'm sure you all have some of those same spreadsheets. But it made me think about what's the value in our giving. Where do we place the value in our giving? Because Addie doesn't understand the value of money. And what a great place that would be to have that mindset of, it's not about how much, it's about the fact that I get to give. And this morning, that's the challenge for me. And through this season, I think that's a great challenge for all of us. What value do we place in our giving? Do we put the value in the dollar amount where we put the decimal? Or do we put the value in the fact that we have the opportunity to give to the work of God? And we have the opportunity to give to the work of this church, to continue his ministry here in Newburgh, and to support the good works that we know are going on throughout this congregation. And I challenge us, let's be joyful in our giving, and let's put the value in the fact that we get to give back to God what is already his, and knowing that he's going to do whatever he needs to do, whatever he wants to do, regardless of how much money is collected this morning. But the fact that we get to participate in his ministry through this giving. And so the value for us this morning is we get to give to continue the good work that God has done and is doing to continue the fulfillment of his love here in this world. And so let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you for all the gifts, for all the blessings that you have given to each one of us. God, I pray that as we give this holiday season, God, as we give to our friends, to our family, God, as we give to you, God, that we do so joyfully. God, I pray that we are reminded that the value in our giving is not in the dollar amount, but the value in our giving is in the fact that we get to continue to spread your love. And I pray that the money that's collected, God, that that's exactly what it's used for, to spread your love, to spread the hope that is available through you, only through you, so that we can continue to be connected with you and that we can help connect others to you. God, I pray that you bless this offering and use this money to further your kingdom. It's through Jesus' name. Amen.
Mark, I confess that we also do spreadsheets, so you're not alone. This morning, this will be our last song, but our hope is that as we think about Jesus as the manifestation of love, And as his example of love, we will go out from here and share that love, not just with our family, which albeit can be hard sometimes, I'm sure, not just with our church family, which can maybe be hard sometimes, but with everyone. And so as we sing this last song, please, if you can, will you stand with me?
Love one another, for love is a God.
Son down here on this earth to be able to withstand the trials and the problems, to understand what we as lowly humans go through. We're so thankful that you saw to it that we needed the help of your Son. He showed us the way. He showed us how to love. He showed us what we need to do to be with you, Father. We honor you, God, for being who you are. If it's possible, Lord, we bow at your feet. We sing praises unto you, and I just pray that you accept them as love songs. And I pray, Lord, that you will walk with us through this time, through this holiday season. There's many of our number that have problems, many that are lonely, that are alone through this time of celebration, as usually takes place with family. Some of us are not that fortunate to have family around, but we do have our brothers and sisters in you to be with us, and we thank you for that. I thank you for the love that this congregation has for one another. How we are concerned for one another, how we walk with one another and the trials that they have. We realize that the pain that comes through our bodies at times is not your will. But we realize it was through Satan that he works in our lives in those ways to discourage us from serving you. So, Lord, I ask that you do us a favor. Take from us those ailments, those problems that we have, if it be your will. But help us, Lord, to learn to deal with our physical problems, to know that it's not your will that we have those, but that it's Satan. And that through your help, we can endure, we can stand straight, knowing that you are with us, that you are holding our hands through the day and the night. There's some of us have been traveling. Some of us will be traveling. And I thank you for the safe travels you've given us. And those of us that will be traveling, we pray that you'll give us safe travels. But we have the assurance that you are with us every foot of the way, wherever we go. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the love of your Son that was so willing to come down and endure what no man could ever endure. And that is all the hurt, all the sin. And that he took it upon himself for each one of us, of which we give thanks. So Lord, I just pray as we conclude to this from this day on, that everything that we do and everything that we say may bring glory to your Son. It's such an honor to be in your family, and we thank you for that privilege. So walk with us now, Lord, as we depart from this place. We love you and walk with you. And the church says, Amen.
blessed.